RadioSt.Pete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Borodell, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and for those of you new to the program, my goal is to talk with every employer I can, big and small, and in every industry, so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. One of the things I like best about being the host of Job Talk is that I get to meet some very interesting and motivated people and share their experiences with you. I often talk about the benefits to relocating to or starting your business in St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay. And my guests today, Rena Hafer and Matt Horton of SensorFact, recently made that decision to relocate to downtown St. Petersburg and are here today to tell us about that decision and the work they do at SensorFact. So welcome, Rena and Matt, to Job Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And so appreciate the long walk that you had to make here.
It was excruciating.
Just around the corner.
Coming back indoors was excruciating. It's a beautiful day today.
Yeah. And so for our listeners wanting to follow along while viewing your website, they can go to www.sensorfact.com. So, Rena, let's start out with you telling us about yourself up until the beginning of SensorFact.
Okay. You know, my family has been in the building controls and energy management industry for forever. So now I didn't start out in that. I actually went to college to study educational technology and computer education. And I was working in the school for the school board of Broward County for a while. And when I had children, I discovered that I could take what I had learned of that technology and with software development, and I could work with my family's business and interfacing with these control systems and working with them remotely. Mm-hmm. So it was a great benefit for me to be able to spend time with my children, but I could also continue working and building my skill set.
So you have a background in computer science.
Yes. And particularly education, yes.
Mm-hmm. And were you teaching?
I was considered an instructional teacher for the instructional television studio in Broward County.
Wow.
So I had a television program as well where I would bring various science and math, particularly science and math teachers who would use technology in some way to either instruct children or instruct other teachers on how it can be used in their classroom.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm from all over, really. I grew up all over the United States, but I spent most of my life in Texas and in Florida, basically. I graduated high school in South Florida. I basically started in computers at an early age when they were starting to come into the home, Sinclairs and Commodores and things of that nature, and I got my hands on everything I could and spent my time learning them and building them and so on. And it wasn't long until I started doing newsletters for local nonprofits and things like that. And I was in an environment where databases were just coming about and these nonprofits needed databases built for their donors. So I spent a lot of time building those databases and so on. And that progressed into other things, and I found myself at Apple as a Macintosh systems engineer for a little while, and then went out to Texas and was the technology guy for a lot of startups up until the crash of the dot-com boom. But I rode that wave for a while.
Mm-hmm. And so you were also a hacker as a young guy. Weren't you? Mm-hmm. Did some of that work?
Yeah. Did you find that on the dark web somewhere? I
let that slip out a little bit.
I did was fascinated by modems, and when they came about, you know, I had a 300 baud modem when that was the fastest thing you could reasonably buy, and I did do some more dialing, looking in my little town in Virginia, looking for things to answer the modem, and I did. I found some things, and you know, before it was illegal, I traversed you know, several computer systems looking for things that I could find. But you know, that was an innocent curiosity back then. You know, it was never meant to do any harm. But I did explore telecommunications quite a bit, to the extent that when I did go to Texas, it was after the divestiture of AT&T. And so there were a lot of telecommunications startups. And I had an opportunity to use that early learned skill to build out networks for private payphones and hospitality systems and things like that. And it was a lot of fun. Especially, I was, you know, one guy building some of these things, and then the businesses were using it. And it was interesting to me as a late teenager, early 20s, to build something and watch it generate revenue. That was an interesting thing.
Interesting. So we mentioned about your decision to relocate to St. Petersburg, and you relocated from Davie, Florida. First of all, where is Davie, Florida?
It's just outside of Fort Lauderdale, South Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the flight path of FPL. Yeah. Look down. Next time you're landing in Fort Lauderdale, you'll see it.
Okay.
It's the one with horses.
All right. Cool. And so tell me, though, why did you choose St. Petersburg? Tell me what went into that factor.
Well, we were starting SensorFact. SensorFact grew out of a project that we were building at Rena's family's business, which I was a consultant for a while, and then I came on board. And we were trying to consolidate a lot of other software products that had been built over the years that Rena was maintaining, and to satisfy a fairly large customer base. So we and I had brought some ideas from previous things, and I had just recently shut down a business that I was running. And so it all culminated in this thing that we weren't calling SensorFact at the time, but we did realize early on that this could survive beyond energycontrol.com. And so we knew we wanted to spin it off. Mm-hmm. And when we were going to spin it off, we were going to leave Energy Control and be our own company and have our own employees, et cetera. And so where do we do that? Rena lived here on the west coast of Florida. Her husband is involved in a startup here in St. Petersburg. And, you know, I'll never forget, she leaned over one day and said, well, you know, you could move to St. Pete. And half-heartedly, you know, tongue-in-cheek almost. And I said, yeah, I could. We're going to come out and look around.
My eyes got so wide. I'm like, really?
She was so happy.
Really?
Yeah. So I did spend some time in the Tampa Bay area in the mid-70s when I was just a child. And I remember trips to St. Petersburg. And I remember the brick streets and the you know, the tree-lined streets and all of that, and thinking how un-Florida it looked at the time. And I always had an affinity for it. And I do have family on the west coast of Florida, so it wasn't a difficult choice for us to look for a place out here to start the business.
And did you look at other Tampa Bay locations as well?
No.
No?
Not really. We were laser-focused on St. Pete.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd done some research on St. Petersburg and what it looked like over the course of the last 25 years. And I saw and still see a resurgence, a revitalization happening here. And I think we're one, just simply one of a lot of companies of our type who are going to start looking into this area. The kind of talent that the millennials that we attract because of the technology we use and the type of business that we are, they're looking for a culture, an environment where they can, you know, walk or ride their bikes to work, where they can, you know, take advantage of you know, lower cost space for business startups and things of that nature. And this, and honestly, this town, I could not have predicted how accommodating and friendly to our business starting this, how St. Petersburg has really embraced us.
Yes.
And I hear that you were kind of courted So some developers, some people that own buildings and office space, they were actually courting you.
Well, yeah. Obviously we had the word went out because there were people already here. I think Rena, Randy might have said some things,
yes.
which put the word out. And Rena really handled a lot of the looking at the space early on because she was here and could come down. But yes, we looked at several spaces, but at the end it was kind of interesting, wasn't it? It was a bidding war of sorts for our space. One, a very large, inexpensive space that could have accommodated us for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And then one, a kind of a predominant address where we are now, they want out. Mm-hmm. For various reasons.
Yeah.
You were mentioning the location, too, is something you like, looking out the window, and it's not too crowded, it's not too busy, and just
right.
During the regular day. Tell me about your feelings about that.
I love the fact that I see so many people on bikes. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in Fort Lauderdale, and that's where I grew up. Not very often. I mean, you'll see it, but, you know, the mailmen aren't riding bikes.
Right.
You know, and I like that. It's very relaxed, and it's just a great, you know, and we love our location here, too, being right here next to you, mm-hmm. with the sundial right there next to us and all that offers as well.
So that certainly does help in attracting the millennials, as you mentioned.
Right, I ask potential hires if they'd like to move to the Bay Area, and you know they immediately think of San Francisco, but I don't know.
Right,
we're the better Bay Area.
That's funny, and I understand too that you just recently did a great presentation at 1 Million Cups a couple of weeks ago. Tell me about that, how that went, and how you went about being a presenter there.
It was suggested to us by several people to look into this 1 Million Cups thing, and we were at the Department of Economic
Improvement,
I think. And they actually mentioned it as well. And so we decided to go online, sign up for it. So we went on, created an account, uploaded some information from our, you know, presentation stacks and so on, and they showed an interest, came over and interviewed, and it was an easy thing. I recommend any business owner in town to go to 1 Million Cups and sign up. It gives you an opportunity to talk to the community and to also visit every Wednesday, 9 o'clock, and listen to what's going on in town from a business, an economic standpoint. It's like your own personal newscast of what's going on in town, and you can ask questions, that's half of it, is the audience gets to ask you questions, and it puts you on your toes as a presenter, but you know, it lets you know what people are interested in.
How long did it take from the time that you signed up online to the time that you became a presenter?
5 minutes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
It was a days, right?
It was several days. Actually,
very quick.
I think that we had talked to the organizers serendipitously in another way, mm-hmm. and then they said sign up, and I said we already did, and so it was easy from that point. I think it was like 2 weeks or so, something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
And what one thing did you take away from that experience?
Well, I loved the fact that, you know, Matt did the presentation. I was more of a spectator, except that the questions were really interesting to hear, and suggestions from the audience. And there were things that, some of them were things I would have never really thought of, but just to know that would come, you know, that you know, they would be inquiring about our technology in a way maybe we hadn't thought of, it just brings up, you know, good topic for us to discuss, mm-hmm. and, you know, as we continue with our business development.
Great. So let's talk about SensorFact services, and we'll just call it SensorFact.
Okay.
Actually, does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
it
with
does.
A small s.
It is with a small s. It's in development, that's referred to as camel case. In a lot of languages, you can't start certain words with small or with large uppercase letters. And so when you concatenate words together to call something something memorable, you tend to then start each subsequent letter a word with an uppercase letter.
And is that how did you happen to come across the name or come up with that name?
In, I would say about 10 years ago, I was involved in a project where we were doing something similar. It was for the University of North Carolina. We were doing a project for data acquisition and storage of sensor data from their facilities. And one of the parts of that project was an online analytical processing system for called OLAP. And the central table of that was for, in OLAP, you have facts and dimensions, right? A fact is something that's fast changing and it comes in and they're your measurements, basically. And your dimensions are slow changing and they define and they make accessing data fast. That all comes together because the time series sensor table that I was working on at the time, I called sensor fact, and that it would typically be something that no one would ever see. Mm-hmm. When we were building this, my thoughts just went to time series storage of sensor data, and I just called it the sensor fact table. And I liked it. And I wanted a shout out to, in this industry now, there's a lot of change, a lot of movement away from your old standard databases into kind of new guard databases, you know, so SQL Server and Oracle and Sybase and a lot of relational database systems that have carried us so far and still do. Are the limelight now is moving towards NoSQL databases and things like Mongo and Hadoop and HBase and lots of various databases that are different. And so when we decided how we would construct and architect our core database system, I wanted to give a shout out to those people who knew OLAP and who worked in OLTP. SQL databases, that kind of thing. And I wanted them to also know, developers to know that when they see that the name and the logo is a camel case word, that they realize that the business was created by and for developers. And yeah. So in a way, hopefully we're, in our logo itself, it looks like a snowflake, but that's the snowflake model for OLAP, really.
Okay, so there is something to the snowflake.
Yeah, it is.
And tell for people that don't know what that snowflake model is.
It's, again, the facts and dimensions. You have a singular fact table in the middle, surrounded by dimension tables. Unlike your typical database system where you want to normalize thing and never store something twice, in an OLAP system, you explode data in dimensions so that you can access that data quickly. Through queries, so that you offload computer processing to the actual storage.
And what is OLAP? OLAP
stands
for?
Online Analytical Processing.
Okay. Just a little test there, just to make sure. Great. So let's talk about sensor fact and the services. And you mentioned dealing a lot with control systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what is a control system?
Rena, you want to take this?
Control system is basic. It is the actual... it's the controls, the way, I don't know how to describe this. It's the system itself that actually manages your lighting and your air conditioning and whatever is measurable in the building. It could be your, it could be a people counter, it could be security. Anything that is measurable by sensors, it's managed by that building control system.
Right. People who don't work in control systems probably are recognizing how things are automating in your homes, the Nest thermostat, and a lot of different thermostats that are becoming smart, and then you have, things that you can put in your outlets. And it started with X10 and Zigbee and various other protocols and formats where you can automate your home, where you can say, make it movie time, and then the shades will draw and the lights will dim and then your stereo will come on. All of that is automation, and it's making its way to consumer-grade products into the home. But for the last 20, 25 years, that automation has taken place in what's called direct digital control, DDC systems, that are in every tall building or every commercial building around you, every mall you walked into. every commercial building that you've worked in have had systems that manage the air conditioning, that manage the lighting and the door access and the elevators and all of that stuff. They're systems that do that mainly for convenience and for environmental comfort, but also for life safety. You know, codes exist that say that if a fire breaks out on one floor, that you would pressurize the floors above and below it and do smoke evacuation and things of that nature. And you have dampers. You know, if the dampers that feed outside air into your building keep you from falling asleep at your desk because of carbon dioxide buildup. And so these are all fed by sensors and controlled by control sequences that mechanical engineers write and build in. And so when a building goes up, these things go into place. And there are actually divisions in the construction industry, Division 15, 16, 17 for integration. So it's a huge industry that a lot of people really don't know about.
And I think I'm one of them. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you don't even realize. As you mentioned, the carbon monoxide,
dioxide
buildup. I mean, who's thinking about that?
Yes.
Anyway, my guests today are Rena Hafer and Matt Horton of Sensor Fact Services. So let's talk about your areas of expertise and your products. On your website, you mentioned security, speed, capacity, and integration.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of what you do. So let's talk about the security. What do you do? What do you do for that?
Well, just like we were talking a second ago, so building control systems have been around since the late 1800s, you know, in various ways. And as it progressed, you had pneumatic systems and so on. But about 25 years ago, maybe 30, the first DDC systems started coming into play. And they had to start networking those systems. So way back before the internet was a thing and before hackers were a thing, you had systems going into buildings that were electrically connected. These systems, as the internet grew up around them and people needed access to them, they put these systems on the internet in various ways through gateways that were built. Again, security, cyber threats, and so on during this integration was an afterthought because it just simply wasn't a thing when people were doing this. Now, over the last 10 years, it has been a focus that, you know, passwords and encryption and so on are words that you'll hear when you're talking about building control systems and enterprise systems that are going in. And the systems, brand new systems that are coming out today, are not really an issue. But retrofitting a building for a new control system is not an inexpensive thing. And so security is an issue. It's kind of the impetus that we use to garner some attention from an industry that is doing things the long and wrong way right now.
Okay, let's talk about some of the products. You mentioned it looks like you have SensorFact Core. Talking about basic management, what is that?
SensorFact Core is it actually encompasses exactly what we're doing in terms of collecting the data from the buildings. We collect the data from the buildings and we provide it into a user interface for our OEMs or our vendors or our clients, essentially to be able to see what's going on in their building and to run analytics on that building and on anything that's going on and to be able to make predictions and whatnot. So it's what we provide that really is the value of getting that data out of the building.
When you bring in data from a building, no two buildings are the same. They might have been engineered a long time ago. What they call things, like the temperature sensor on the wall in this room, you might think of it as that's the temperature sensor on the wall in this room. But on a control engineer might have called it some name to fit within 8 characters of an old control system, so you don't know what it is. So the SensorFact Core's main purpose is to, once the data comes in, allows the users to go in and tag and name things, something that a human can read and use.
Yes.
And it allows them to create sites and to create gateways and organize hierarchically all of their data that's coming out of the building that's abstracted from what's actually called in the building control network.
Great. Now let's talk about point collects, which is also a data diode and pump.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so from a security standpoint, It would be easy for me to take your control system and put it on the internet and to open up ports and then from a distance come in and gain access to that. But that's the wrong way to do it. It's insecure. It's been proven. The Target breach last year that had 70-some-odd million credit cards were that happened because of an HVAC contractor whose VPN username and password was compromised, and the thieves got access that way. We're trying to train and teach and educate as to that why that's a problem. You want it's not that you can get away with it, but the number of people that you give access to needs to be reduced. We created Point Collects as an agent that lives inside the building on the control network. And it asks the question, what are the current values of the data points that are in the building right now? It packages it up, encrypts it, and turns around and sends it to SensorFact. Now, it's secure from, and we call it a data diode, which is an actual thing. And it's it in the truest sense of the term, isn't a data diode. It's a data diode pump that we call because it's all in software. It has no inbound surface, so it's not a web server. It's a web client, and it doesn't utilize any ports that are unnatural. It utilizes just 443, which is your encrypted SSL port to send data out. It doesn't allow for sending anything back into the control system, so you can't enact change in the control system itself. So, and we developed it in-house. I wrote the first version of it, so I can tell you it's secure, and it's a difficult thing to compromise.
Great. Now let's talk about Point Direx, which is also talking about control systems there.
Yeah, Point Direx is basically an add-on or will be an add-on to live side-by-side with Point Collects, and it will enable you, the Point Direx will enable you to change things like set points, which is one of the first questions that customers ask is, once you integrate and get data out of our building, can I send commands back to the building, which is exactly the opposite of what Point Collects is and is supposed to be. Point Direx is not anything that will ever be packaged up and sold, because the way you send commands to a building control system right now today is for every brand, vintage, model, it's all different. And there's no real way to create something that does it all. So Point Direx is more, it's a product that our professional services group employs for customers.
Okay. And what's Fastback?
You can talk about it.
Okay. Fastback is a product that we are designing that, you know, one of the things that is very valuable about SensorFact is when it comes to diagnosing a problem. It's very easy because that data is real time, and you know, whether it's a facility monitoring company or even a building owner, they can see quickly if there's a problem in the building. So Fastback, that is incorporated in, as a way of immediately locating. It's a geolocation system to find the nearest vendor for to service that problem and to get them to the location quickly. And additionally, SensorFact, with some of the services we can provide, is to provide them all of the information that they need to quickly take care of that problem and to diagnose it quickly as well.
And I will add that it's a patented software process. Yes. Our chairman of the board holds the patent, who happens to be Rena's father. So I didn't refuse when he asked if we could build it. And so but there are a lot of things that utilize this functionality. It's basically a way. It's an automated service broker, which yes. You'll find ASB in Fastback. That's why it's called that. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a play on words and an acronym. I hate acronyms. So it's there. So once we have SensorFact to a critical mass, sorry for the buzzword, but it would allow our customers to geolocate vendors who fix things closest to with their particular discipline So if your chiller plant breaks and you need someone who knows how to fix a train or a carrier chiller plant, and they happen to be in the location area, you can immediately send them a first right of refusal work order through SensorVac.
Great. So you mentioned some of your services and add-ons, and also your one of your department's professional services. What do you do there?
Okay, well, professional services, like in any business, is the catch-all for if you don't want to do it, we'll do it for you if you be a customer sort of thing. So we do that. So we get calls from people that say, you know, we want SensorVac, but this is the kind of control system we have. We don't know how to hook any of this up. And so we will rent ourselves out to do it. And we work with partners as well. And we'll write software for people and things of that nature.
Is that the development part of it?
Well, we develop in-house everything we work with and build. We have partners who integrate with our API that we sell or have allow them to sell based on the marketplace that we're building and becoming. But yes, our developers will work on certain protocols. So one of the major protocols in buildings right now is BACnet. There was a protocol battle of sorts, Betamax, VHS kind of battle that happened the last 10 years between LawnWorks and BACnet. They both have their strengths and their weaknesses, but it seems that BACnet is becoming the VHS. And so that's it's basically you need to write software around these things. Mm-hmm. And companies that want certain integration types need help from people who have expertise in those protocols, and we have that.
Great. Tell me about the work you do with the alerts and analytics as well. Last two parts there.
Well, we are we're a reseller, a software as a service reseller of a product called SkySpark from a company called SkyFoundry, and it's a very innovative analytics package that allows you to create alerts through what are called sparks. It's constant it analyzes the data constantly. So this inflow of data that's coming in every minute of every day from buildings, a product like SkySpark can be sipping that data and analyzing it and then utilizing your homegrown sparks, things that matter to you. A common spark would be if you have an air conditioning system that is simultaneously heating and cooling. That's a problem. Why would you be doing that? And so you can set SkySpark up with their library of spark code. Yeah, to evaluate that data and then to allow and then it will alert you when that kind of thing happens. It also will allow you to graph. It's a great visualization tool and so on. So SensorVac, basically, we're the first mile experts of getting data out of a building and into our cloud environment. And then we decided we weren't going to compete with the companies out there that are already creating fantastic analytical products, fantastic visualization products. We want to empower those people and those products and
partner with them.
So we developed our API to integrate with those kinds of products. There is a new, somewhat new, relatively, tagging protocol. It's a modeling vernacular of sorts. It's called Haystack, and the building control industry is focusing on that so that, like I said, the naming systems and the nomenclature of all the various brands and systems that exist today, you're not going to be able to go back and fix those. Some of these systems have been running for 50 years, and nobody's going to, unless they can find a financial reason to replace that system through energy management and energy analysis, they're not going to replace those systems. So in order to get the data out and to tag it in such a way that it works with other things is important, because until you can do that analysis and then present a report that shows if you make these changes, you can save money. They're not going to change these or update the systems. If they're working, they're working, and people are comfortable, and that's their most important goal in the building, right?
And you mentioned about competitors. Do you have competitors in this
Oh, absolutely, we do. We're squarely in the Internet of Things space, and so every day a new competitor pops up. But I would say that right now, they're the one company that when we found out that they were that what they were doing, you know, we all realized they're the ones that are closely like what we want to be, is a company called Xively. It was recently purchased or somewhat recently purchased by LogMeIn. They do what we do for the Internet of Things in industry. They're not focused on building control systems like we are. They don't have a first mile product that's focused on any particular system. They're looking at the integration of Internet of Things. But from the management, basically bringing data into the into their core system, creating an environment where you can manage it, you can share that data through webhooks and endpoints, and then allow through an API for you to build your own system and application on top of it. It's that kind of system that we're seeing every day competitors come up. There are other ones that are loosely like what we are, Logly, in a way. New Relic is somewhat, and they're huge. We actually use New Relic for a lot of things, so we get to see how much alike we are. So some of our competitors we actually utilize for our own business right now, but it's not because they're better than us. It's just that we focused on on building control systems and energy management, and they're focused on things like servers and data logs and things of that nature.
And who is your typical customer? Who could really benefit by using SensorFact?
Anyone who owns a building.
Or a portfolio of buildings. Listen, security is our main critical pain point that we touch on. But data ownership is now a huge thing and will be a huge thing going forward. A typical problem that happens today is that a performance contractor can come to a building or a property owner and say, we will do energy analysis on all of your buildings and show you how much money that you can save. And you can pay us out of the savings. That's what a performance contractor will do. And a lot of times they'll go in, but they need to set a baseline. And so they need to come in and get data out of the building. And this involves talking to the building control system. It involves the IT department. It involves a lot of time and a lot of money. And when they're done, who owns that data? A lot of times it's not the building owner. And so if they want to fire that performance contractor and bring on another one, that new one has to do it all over again. We have a data liberation policy. Basically, if you pay us to collect the data out of your building and store it for you, that data belongs to you. It always belongs to you. You can get it at any point in time. Once you've paid us, that's yours, and you have the right to have it. And that's kind of the number two critical factor for the reason why we started this business.
All right. Now let's talk about jobs. Rena, I understand that, with a small company, you're going to be growing in time. So let's talk about the kinds of jobs that you typically will be hiring for, especially in the future. What kinds of people will you be looking for?
Okay, well, it's not going to be in too far of the future. We're going to be looking for testing engineers for quality assurance. And one of the things that will really be valuable to us are people who have some experience in the building control industry in some way, because that, you know, it's a more of a narrow focus, but the technical people that we can get involved who have that experience are going to be very valuable to us.
So what does a testing engineer do?
They would, for one, test our systems, and as we're developing and as we're before we release new updates and new versions, be able to find out if we have any errors, any bugs, and also to make suggestions about what we're missing, what we need to add, really kind of involved in the whole development process of the technology itself.
And tell me about some other jobs.
We will additionally need customer support. Mm-hmm. I mean, that for sure, because as we continue to onboard more and more clients, we need to be able to communicate with them. We need to be able to, you know, also just, you know, provide have people who have that experience to be able to help them, you know, with our software and also with the various technologies that we're going to be, you know, that we offer to our clients.
What kind of support does a customer support person do at SensorFab?
It would be partially for our core. I mean, mm-hmm. for our core services and for the services that we would be providing to get that data out of the building. Mm-hmm. Because each control system is very different, there are a variety of different ways. Obviously, we need to be able to help them in getting that data out. Because one of the things that we are providing is an API so that we can have other developers as well interface with our database and get their sensor data into SensorFact. So we need to have so those types of high level technical customer support would need to have a knowledge of API integration, also writing and developing support for that API itself. Mm-hmm. So right. That'll be very important.
Corporate chef and office masseuse.
Yeah, that's going to be next. Okay. Are you going to be hiring some developers, I think, in time, too?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, what kind of skills would they need?
Better than me.
No.
Please.
We will be focusing on the mean stack, which mm-hmm. would be we would have to have Mongo database experts, and we would need to have developers experienced with Express and Node. And so we, you know, that's an Angular. So our a lot of our front end involves AngularJS.
And what kind of benefits would you be able to provide to people that work for you?
Well, given the fact that we are a very small startup company now in a very huge industry with tremendous growth potential, I think right there
we're open to suggestions.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're way open for suggestions. A beautiful office, a nice environment, great people. That's what we offer.
Yes.
And, you know, a solid wage. That's one of the things that I've learned here in Florida, South Florida particularly, is that you tend to have to lower your wage expectations when you move to Florida from mm-hmm. places like California and Texas. I want to turn the tide on that a little bit, and as well turn the tide somewhat on, the women in technology and minorities in technology. I want to attract some of the talent and have a diverse staff. So, and we want to do the things that make a happy workforce. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, it doesn't come in the form of necessarily financial benefits. It comes in the form of freedom. I like the trend that's going on now where they're basically there are several companies that have been in the news recently in all forms of media where the trend is, you don't have a set vacation time. You basically have tasks to do. And if you do those tasks, you can get them done. And so you have company where they're saying, yeah, if you want to take 6 weeks off, take 6 weeks, but you got to get your work done. Right. And they're finding that the workers are dedicated and they're not abusing the system. So that kind of thing is very attractive. And, okay. Yeah, would like to do that.
So that brings me to the interview tip of the week. And if somebody does want to apply for a position with SensorFact, what one piece of advice would you give them? Let's start with you, Rena.
I would say that I would be looking for someone who is just truly authentic and concise and researches our company and asks questions. I would enjoy that in an interview.
Okay. Matt?
Bring the president a bottle of liquor. Brush your teeth. No, honestly, drop the ego and tell us about why you're passionate about the kind of work that you do. If you got your college degree in computer engineering, you're trying to force it and make it work. That'll shine through. It's the dedicated software developers and testers who have a passion for the actual end product and the customer experience. And those are the ones that I would like to involve in our culture. A solid customer experience is everything for us, and you can make or break your business based on it. And so it's our jobs to make the task doable and to dream the big dreams, and then to create a culture that that a worker can enjoy and balance their vocation and occupation with. It's their job to come in and to join the team and work as a team. And that's one reason why we're focusing on bringing people to St. Petersburg and not doing it all remotely or outsourcing to other countries. We're not interested in that. We're interested in filling an office full of happy workers who work and collaborate together.
Great. And, you know, we just have time for a couple more questions. It's really gone by very quickly. But, you know, just as a young company, are you at this point looking for investors at all?
Of course, you're always looking for someone who might be willing to throw money at the company. We have a business plan, and we are in the phase of the business plan where we make it work first, make it fast second, make it pretty third. And right now, we're making it work. We are still struggling with a minimally viable product with such a varied in-source of data types and building control systems. We're doing a good job. I think our customers are happy, but we're not yet at a place where we could say, if we repeat this 100 times, 1,000 times, a million times, this is how much money is going to drop out of the bottom. And so until we can do that, and until we can show an investor how they can make their money back, and we can regain control over our own company at the end, that's we're not ready. But I am entertaining any of those things, and we do have investment. The company that we incubated in is our primary investor right now, mm-hmm. and they're not telling us to go look for other people to share in their ownership.
Okay. So if somebody wants to learn more about SensorFact and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can go to www.sensorfact.com.
Or they can email hello@sensorfact.com. And they can call 727-222-DOTS, D-O-T-S, which is 3687, because we collect the dots so that you can connect the dots.
And do you have a Twitter account, too?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of the social media icons you can imagine all are found at SensorFact, simply as the username.
Perfect. All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate you coming in and let everyone know what it's like to have relocated recently to St. Petersburg. And I hope you'll come back again in the future.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
So just want to so that was my guest today, Rena Hafer and Matt Horton of SensorFact. So be sure to check out the website, www.sensorfact.com, especially if you have the technical skills they mentioned, or if you're an investor and want to learn more about this very exciting company. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. Our good friends at Bayprint let us know that they have a newly designed website. You can also vote for the Good Burger Awards for Al and the gang over there at Bayprint, as well as you can vote there for all your favorites from their website, which is bayprintonline.com. And again, those Good Burger Awards, they've got several categories. Many of my guests have been nominated, so be sure to vote for your choice in several categories. And the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance reminds us about voting for St. Petersburg to be the top craft art center. You can vote daily through August 30th, so go to americancraftweek.com/top10. That's americancraftweek.com/top10. Shout-outs today go out to Toriano Parker of the Deuces. Congratulations on your new radio program here on RadioSt.Pete.com. His show can be heard every Thursday at 12:15 p.m. So good luck to you, Toriano. And you can also Google them. They videotaped that first show, and it's very interesting. Well, very well done. So congratulations, Toriano. Also, shout-outs go to Teresa in Canada. Congratulations on your recent award. Keep up the great work there. And to all my Midwest friends, I think of you often and hope to see some of you soon. And to my guests next week, Randy Hafer and Ruth Leary of SavvyCart, one of the most exciting startups in St. Petersburg. They have a new product launch they wanted to talk about. It should be a lot of fun. And I want to thank you all for listening to Job Talk and for tuning in to RadioSt.Pete.com. You should check out all the great music, including local musicians who are featured here. New shows are in production as the website keeps getting better and better. You can choose your favorite style of music 24 hours a day, including Maine, oldies, jazz, and classical. Other interesting programs you might enjoy are live broadcasts like the Suncoast Tiger Bay Luncheon And by the way, if you're looking for an organization that has wonderful speakers, we're leaders within the community, and a really good lunch too, you should check out that organization. Just Google Suncoast Tiger Bay and take a look at their website. And be sure to listen to Will Coons as he hosts the Homemade Broadcast at 6 p.m. Sundays, and to the Indie Circuit with Mao that airs on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And as I mentioned, Toriano Parker has a new program every Thursday at 12:15 p.m. So be sure to check out the website often and see what's new. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. That's RadioStPete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioStPete.com, and I do look forward to your comments and suggestions. I want to take this time to thank Joe, Chuck, Richard, Harry, my engineers Dan and Sean, and all the Eagles for their help. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioStPete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioStPete.com.